I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Man, I'll tell you, timing is everything. And I've said that many times on this program. People were sending me all kinds of information today. I guess Regent Bank had a cyber attack today. They were having technical issues. They were sending out information on people's cell phones. There was an article in The Hill today asking if the internet was falling apart. They were blaming China for it. Apple had an outage on their iCloud, Apple TV, Apple Music, and more. They were having some problems. And I noticed this morning when I was on my Apple phone that I was not able to get Facebook and several other social networks to read from. So I was curious as to why that was going on. Found out that Apple was having some problems. But yeah, The Hill talks about WeChat and TikTok and we were talking about, of course, internet hygiene, clean things out, replacing things, controlling nationally the internet for different interests, trying to block some of the, I guess you could call it the bad stuff that's said about the United States. The U.S. Defense Department and DARPANET are now looking at different computer networks. They're seeing that maybe we'd see four or five or six different internets. I mean, these are some things that certainly are news items that aren't being reported in the mainstream. And they are really concerned about a sledgehammer approach to controlling the internet within the country's borders. And that includes smartphones. It includes maybe closing in on cell phone tower data, maybe shutting the internet off within that tower's reach if need be, going through, I mean, there's so many things that they were talking about today that I thought, wow, if I had this information today, I would have been able to put it in the show yesterday. Or if I had it yesterday, I would have been able to put it in the show yesterday. But apparently the China, when you look at the Chinese and what the Chinese are doing, China introduced to the UN's International Telecommunications Union a proposal for a new type of protocol for the world's networks. And they're saying that it would be done in a way comparable to but different from the way the internet protocols are being done now. And so they're thinking about converting everything over to something called China's new IP, which, of course, you know that's major controversy right there. I mean, the nation's companies are now reacting to it, saying, what do you mean? We don't want a Chinese-centric internet because, of course, the protocols are based on a new set of internet domain names and numbers, and we'd have to go through all that again, and it would probably shut down the global open internet. But then again, we're doing just as bad of a job to ourselves with things being shut down. So, I mean, we may be seeing at least two parallel global computer interworking systems. This is something that, we have been hinting at now since we made our switch over to aftermath.media. And we said, look, the free flow of information on the internet, well, it's been the cornerstone of what we've seen on the United States international policies with the internet. But now that we don't have control over it, and we're seeing shifts in the international internet policies, we're going to start seeing some changes pretty darn soon. And, of course, a lot of sensitive and personal information and intellectual property and all that stuff is a concern. And, of course, China's got the upper hand now. And, you know, I know that there are places all over the world right now that are hot spots for war or other situations that I'm sure we could get to and talk about. But the overall attitude by Europe and China and Russia and all these other outside countries, the attitude about the United States is, well, they're saying that we are losing our global power. Today, I mean, after last night, I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, you could not escape the commentary of last night's debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I mean, everyone had an opinion about who won the debate, but I want to tell you who the losers are. I want to tell you who lost. And I got a number of losers for you. Well, Chris Wallace, for one, he lost. The networks lost. They said the ratings were the worst ever for a debate, even though everybody's talking about it. So the networks lost, and the American people, we lost. We lose. And we could argue until the cows come home about your favorite blowhard septuagenarian candidate, but we'll leave that nonsense for the daily talk shows. I mean, I see something far more sinister happening to the American people, and soon you're going to learn that it's all by design. And what's most disconcerting about what is happening right now is that in the past, there was always a sense among our world allies that in America, despite political disagreement, there's this one republic, this one republic, and there's always conflict that gets solved by debate and compromise. Now, if anyone caught the morning news today, the arguments and vitriol continued between news commentators and their guests. I was watching CNN today, and I watched a guy who was a Speaker of the House in some group, and he was a black man, and he was talking with a white woman, and the white woman was saying how racist Donald Trump was, and the black man says he's not as racist as you say he is, and the banter and the fighting, and she gives this whole list of reasons why she thinks he's racist. And, you know, there is no objectivity. There's no objectivity to be had, and even many moderates were forced to admit that what happened last night had no sense of decorum or diplomacy. The left wing seemed to take everything Trump said out of context, while the right wing called out Biden for being weak and disingenuous. So who loses? We lose. I mean, we all know what was said here in America about the debate. We all hear it from our friends. It's what they're talking about tonight. See, the world is taking notes. The world is taking notes, and they're biding their time. Many in Europe and elsewhere, they're saying now they see America weakening on the global stage and are finding themselves looking actually towards the East for a country that stands out as a world leader for the global reset. And, of course, that country is China. And world leaders are now beginning to admit that Trump and the political culture that created him is heralding the decline of the American democracy and the American culture. However, there's no savior being named for the United States because we're setting ourselves up for the globalists to move in and ensure a continuity of government. While they say that Trump and the culture, the American culture that he allegedly is heralding, or the heralding of the decline of the United States, they're saying that Trump may be responsible for it, but they're not looking to, at Biden as a successor. They see us as being gone now. They see us as our power on the global stage is beginning to crumble. And the government that is waiting right now, the globalists that want to move in and bring in a continuity of government, you know, they're waiting and they're going to bring forward a technocratic post-scarcity way of life. So Joe Biden, even Kamala Harris, they don't even see them as competent. Only in the sense that they will easily be sufficient enough in the quick transfer of power for the globalists to move in and say, okay, we can take this from Kamala Harris. We can take this from Joe Biden. So they don't even see them as leaders either. They see them as easy peasy. Trump's the hard one. Trump's the hard one to crack. But the other two are easy peasy. They're saying, yeah, it's going to be an easy sell. And what's what's terrifying about this is that, you know, a typical American, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, what do they know? Well, they've been through it all. They've been, I mean, most of these countries that are seeing us going through what we're going through, they've gone through it. Of course, all these countries seem to still be in existence, but their forms of government have changed over time. You look back at Germany, you look back at England, you look back at all these European countries, and their governments, they went through civil wars, they went through wars, and they went through all kinds of different, you know, monarchies and what have you. And they've been through it a lot longer than we have. But see, most Americans are saying, well, America's different. America's not going to fail. We don't like the idea of hearing that America's about to fail. And we believe that our very form of government is immune to collapsing into a different form. I mean, I think a lot of people know that our government is teetering on the brink of socialism or communism, and of course now we're in despotism. But, you know, if you say socialism, people say, well, we're already a socialist country. We're already socialist. I mean, look at all the things we get, and what would it hurt if we got more things? And that's the rationale. Now, communism, you know, communism is one of those fine lines. You know, people think that, you know, socialism is communism, but of course, you know, communism is kind of like state socialism on steroids, and you have anarcho-communism where you have anarchist jurisdictions and all this other stuff going on. Despotism is where all things are chaotic. The entropy exists, and there's no way we're going to be able to round it up. It's going to be like rounding up cats. You can't do it. And it's time to realize that Americans can't allow their politics as usual to continue, especially when we're well on our way to an era of chaos. I mean, we live in an era where We have adopted a set of image and action parameters that fool us into believing that if it looks a certain way, then it must be a certain way. And I realized that last night at the debates because they were talking about how Antifa is an ideology and not an organization. But yet we see organized groups of Antifa on the streets doing what they do. And so you could argue that, you know, Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer or whomever, they're just an ideology. They're not an organization. But they are an organization. They organize. They go to parks. They pray. They put on their battle gear. And they're waiting, as they say, to defend themselves against Antifa. This is odd because you look at history now, and it's like I said, I predicted a lot of this, but I didn't know it would end up like this. I mean, most Americans are fine with groups like Antifa because they've declared their mission as being what they see as fascism, destroying it. This is what they're doing. They say, oh, we destroy fascism. However, their tactics are similar to the brown shirts in the Nazi era, and their so-called allies are violent anarchy communists that use Black Lives Matter to exploit Marxism. It's just bizarre. And then we have the right-wing extremists. They play a role in this melee because they're also used as wrecking balls, unwittingly hardening the resolve of the police state as they are labeled as terrorist or operations in the country right now. So this is where we are. And the world is looking at us losing our power. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.